TIC Productions presents India's premier Bollywood podcast. You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host Aditya, and I'm here with Bharat and Banerjee.
Hi.
Hello.
It's not a phone call.
I like to be formal. It's okay.
Anyway, Bharat had about like 20 seconds of notice for this podcast, so we'll cut him some slack. This is podcast one of two, at least in recording order, of this week.
Yeah.
And the topic of this podcast is Meri Pyari Bindu. I haven't actually seen the movie, so you guys are the stars of the show. What did you think?
Let's start from the trailer. What did you expect from the movie? Like, you haven't seen the movie, so what do you expect from the movie?
So, ALN and I discussed this last week. I didn't think it was going to be a good movie. Like, I thought it would be shit. And ALN was like, no, it looks really good.
Yeah. And at least from the trailer, the way they've positioned their whole marketing strategy was, I think it was worth a, it could get people into the theaters. And it did get me into the theater. I saw it only because the trailers looked impressive in a certain way.
Hmm.
So, when the first trailer came out, it gave me a feel like it's one of those films of IRF which are a little off from their usual films. Like, when the trailer of Dam Laga Ke Aisha came out, like, that kind of feel it gave me. Like, ye thoda alag hoga baki IRF ke movies se. And also because I had seen actually the first snippet that came out with Pariniti, just singing the song, back in 2016. So I got really intrigued by the fact that why did they make Parindi sing a song? Is it just another gimmick thing that what people are doing with Alia Bhatt these days?
Everyone.
Sonakshi.
Sonakshi also. But later on when the trailer came out, I felt that there was a need of Parindi to sing the songs. Like, it's one of those things where, in the film, she's an aspiring singer. So I think putting her to sing a song was a damn good decision there. But as I saw the film, there wasn't any song that she had actually sung in the film. In the film, there's no song of hers.
I mean, they're like unplugged versions. And she's not a bad singer by any means, but she's not like great.
No, but I feel that she's a good singer because I've heard her live. Like, I've heard her live performances on YouTube. There are live performances of her. And whatever I've seen, I think that amongst the three or four people that are singing these days, among the actresses, she's quite, and she has done BA honors in music also, so she has a sense of music.
Because she's educated.
I'm just saying that I have a certain expectation from her, and she's lived up to that expectation.
But I actually, and again, I mentioned this last week, but I couldn't think of the names. I actually didn't feel the way you felt about how this is a different YRF movie. When I looked at the trailer, I was like, all these Ayushman YRF films are the same. It's exactly the same. Only Vicky Donor was good.
Okay. No, Ayushman has done only three films with YRF.
No, not YRF and Ayushman. Not exclusively.
So, Ayushman, to an extent, has been typecast. Huh. Good guy, breezy, kind of a role. Easy going, you know? But
except not Anki Sala. He was not a breezy, good guy there. He was a
I've not seen that movie.
I'm sorry. We'll beep it out. He was not a great guy there. He was not naive at all.
But I still that's one of the reasons why I wasn't excited. I was like, same ito hai. What's the point?
No, but it got a little drag when they started doing it in chapters and they started building it up. I felt a little drag over there about the
movie. I actually didn't, and I'll tie it in with my movie watching experience, when I actually watched the film. So all that they have shown in the trailers does not reveal anything
major story.
Which I was very I was scared that it would do that because
it's
7 minutes film footage. But the good thing about that is they've not revealed anything about the plot, and the plot takes you into some other zone only.
Yeah.
And the trailers are just the starting point of the movie. So that way, they've been very smart with this. Also, I think it gives the centerpiece of the movie is nostalgia.
Right.
Yeah. They're playing on nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's the whole emotion of the movie.
And even the way the romance is depicted is very, you know, old school romance.
Hmm.
So I think the trailers do a very good job of giving you that feel. So that you don't feel cheated when you're watching the movie. You don't feel cheated, A, because you've not been told everything about the movie, and B, because the tone is the same that you've seen in the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, that's an example of a good trailer, that when it will just give you an overall feel about the movie, but it will never reveal what is actually going to happen in the story.
Which
most of the times actually, like, I feel that Hindi films fail to do it. Most of the time, they actually just give away the whole story there. But here, what I feel is that when I watch the movie, I think it's one of those movies which I would just like in parts. Like, there are moments in the movies which I would like, but as a film, in a whole, I think it's not very well knitted. Well written. I don't think it's a bad writing, actually. Yeah. I actually felt the writing was pretty good. But I see there's been a lack of direction in the movie.
Yeah.
Majorly.
I agree.
Majorly, because I think first of all, talking about the movie, if you see, there's not a certain pace in the movie. Like, I don't have a problem with people changing the pace, but to this movie, I think there was a need of a certain pace. And it started in a certain way, then it drops, and then you have to again catch up with the pace. It just does not let you stay with the moment. And this movie was all about those moments sometimes. There were parts of the movie which was redundant, and maybe sometimes which I didn't get why it was there. Like, there's a whole sequence where Ayushman and Pariniti, they reunite in the sense they meet again. That happens in Goa.
Yeah.
But that whole sequence does not make any sense. If you take that out from the movie, it would actually not make any difference, and that takes good 20 minutes of the movie.
I have a theory to that as to why he did that, because I think the entire scene where... this is a spoiler.
Okay, that's fine. Right. If we warn people, we can give spoilers.
Yeah, so this is a spoiler. Basically, he's singing that song. So every moment in their love affair is tied into a song.
Okay.
And listening to those songs reminds him... that moment reminds him of that moment. So he's listening to the song "Mere Sapno Ki Rani Ka Bhai." So the device in that is wo bus mein usko dekhta hai, and then he doesn't board the bus even though he can. He takes a bike, ek side mein bike leke ja raha hai banda. He takes the sidecar and he serenades to her in the same fashion. So I think there he's trying to make the connect between the song picturization and in real life.
Yeah,
it's very.
I was just gonna say in many ways they actually try to recreate the songs that were there.
The original.
I think I think Akshay Roy has done here, Akshay Roy the director has done here, is that there are a series of songs in the film from the vintage period, but there's one song which is the instrument which becomes an instrument of the film is Abhinav Jao Chhodkar. It's like the story itself. What I liked about the film majorly was the end. If you don't want me to give it away, it's okay. But I really feel that last scene was so beautifully done, and it was well written, obviously. But he differs from me. We discussed it about it. After. I love the ending.
But you liked it from a story perspective, or just how it's shown and visually?
Both. I think both. Okay. It was very important at that point. Like, what would actually happen? Like, there are conventional ways to do it, to be very honest. But I just felt that it was handled pretty maturely, to my sense.
I think I liked the way it ended in the sense of the story, as you said.
Yeah.
But I felt it was dragged beyond limits. I think the last scene itself lasts for 20 minutes. So
why are so many movies doing that
now? Philori did that quite a lot.
I'm not aware. I don't know. I think it's all self-indulgence. I think the same problem was with this film, Mirza. It is a very simple story. Very simple story, and it can be told in a 30 minutes ka spot. Even Meri Pyari Bindu, I feel...
It's a short film.
It's a long short film, like a 40-minute film. You know, it's a very beautiful short film. But needlessly, you put... There is one song sequence which is completely not needed.
Ye Jawani.
Ye Jawani Teri, something like that. It's completely
unneeded. That's again a moment trying to be like,
I don't know.
I mean, that is a culture that we have here in the movie making. I mean, sure, we can like change it. But what I'm saying is that I didn't mind that much. What I actually agree with him, that there are many parts of the movie which can actually be turned down, like can be cut down and made the movie shorter than what it
How
was.
How long was the movie?
It wasn't much long.
I don't think it was a long film time, but
it just felt
given
long.
Given the story, it's a very simple story. It's a straightforward story, but also, as he mentioned, some directorial choices were amateurish.
Yeah.
And I don't blame the director because
this is his first film.
But as a viewer, you feel this. So you feel that sudden lack in pace, like suddenly the movie's done.
Right.
And suddenly it's picked up pace and there are jump cuts and there are everything. Like, and he's tried a lot of things.
He's experimented a lot, actually.
My favorite part of the movie just comes just before the interval, where both of them have shifted to different parts of the world.
Okay.
She's shifted to Australia, I think, and he's in
Bombay. He's in Bombay.
Bangalore.
Like, he goes to study in Bangalore, and then he's finally moved to Bombay.
And all of this is depicted in one single
montage.
Where they're talking to the camera, and as if they're writing letters to each other. So that, Dear Abhimanyu, dear Bindu. And then addressing the camera, and it's very interactive. So you, like, people come into it and they also take away the camera, and so it's very interactive that way. A lot of filmmaking tricks have been applied, but it doesn't come together as a whole that well. It's a good movie in parts.
But yeah, a filmmaking trick that really intrigued me when the movie came out itself, and when I watched the movie, I actually thought of it, was like, to use the concept of Padosan, actually. They view the concept of Padosan, like, Padosan, the film there.
Yeah.
A lot in this movie because they're neighbors here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And they had all those nuances that actually took place during that time also. Like how this boy meets the girl. Except the fact that these two were kids and when they got together. So how that happens, how the first time you actually meet someone and how do you interact when you were kids and how does that change over time when you live in the same place. You go to the same college maybe, same school. And the song Meri Pyari Bindu is also taken from Padosan. So I think he has some connection with the Padosan film itself.
Because also,
it was very evident in the film, like the way he's treated the scenes, from that window-to-window conversation.
Yeah.
Like, that's symbolic. That's like directly taken from Padosan, the movie.
Yeah. Even in particular, one sequence which for me was one of the best, apart from this montage that I mentioned, was the proposal scene.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is singing
the whole family.
Meri Pyari Bindu.
Okay. And it acts this thing, short skit kind of a thing. Where
in the middle of the street in Bombay, in Fort.
Oh, wow.
And it's beautifully done. And there's also conflict going on which only both of these know.
Okay.
And she suddenly walks into a proposal and he's like, no, wait. But it happens.
Huh.
And he's forced to, you know, propose.
Right.
I mean, it's ironic because he planned it out. But they had a fight and then they walk into this. It's
according to performances, I think he actually, the director and the cast director also, maybe they've got good actors.
Yeah.
They've got the perfect faces for the role also.
Good Bengali actors.
Yeah,
also.
Good Bengali actors also. Roger,
like, you
mean
for the supporting cast.
For the supporting cast. Also for the main lead, I think Ayushman fits into that character. He might be typecasted, but he fits into the character.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a seamless job there, and he does a really good job.
Yeah, really good job.
Like, at every moment you feel for the guy.
Yeah, he's generally good in all his movies.
But whereas I feel that Pariniti just was a diva in the film. in a lot of the scenes, like especially the first. Also, I feel there was an uncanny similarity of the treatment of this Bindu character with the character of Deepika Padukone in Break Ke Baad.
Break Ke Baad.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that movie, but I don't remember it that well.
So, in Break Ke Baad also, Deepika is this disturbed kid with her family, her single mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wants to be an actor.
Her
mother is also an actor there. Here also, Bindu wants to become a singer. She has a father whom she has troubled relationships with. So, I'm saying that the whole journey of that character is pretty much... And there also... Deepika Padukone goes to Australia.
Australia.
Yeah. So, I think...
But I feel like, I mean, I'm sure, like, that general trope is there in, like, so many movies. I don't think...
Childhood. I think Alia Bhatt is just meant for that.
No, but also...
Kid with troubled childhood.
I have read a few articles about... which blames Meri Pyari Bindu for having a very stock character of Pariniti. which is like a trope, and I was just googling
stock it. Character machine?
Yeah, it's a stock character. It has a name. It's called Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
What?
So it's defined as, yeah, it's a type of female character depicted as vivacious and appealingly quirky, whose main purpose within the narrative is to inspire a greater appreciation for life in a male protagonist. So like, she exists only to give the main guy an artistic, you know, fulfillment.
What is it? Manic Pixie?
Manic Dream Pixie Girl. Dream Girl. So, and there are a lot of articles.
Yeah, even.
A lot of films have done, like Woody Allen. He, like, the character of, for example, Annie Hall in Annie Hall exists just for the benefit of the main guy.
Hmm.
She doesn't have a life of her own. But while watching the movie, I felt differently. And this is addressed. Like, she addressed Parinidhi's character in the end. She addresses that this is not my story. She says it.
Yeah.
The device of the
film
is...
That's what I'm saying. That's one of the best parts of the movie, I feel.
Yeah, so Abhi, the writer, he presents the manuscript of the book that he's written on her, based on their own life experiences.
Okay.
And he says, this is for you, just read it. I don't want to share it with anybody else. She reads the whole thing in the last scene. 20 minutes long scene. Okay, she's just reading
it. That's not the case.
She just reads it. The whole thing, she reads it. Okay. Padri. And we've seen all of the scenes go by, okay? We just saw it. While he was writing. Now we're seeing it while she's reading it. Okay. We're seeing all of that. But, okay, that apart. But in the end, she says, I get this story, I like it, but this is not my story.
Hmm.
This is not me. This is your idea of me.
Yeah.
And that is the point where I think people need to understand that this is also acknowledging the manic pixie, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is that
pixie dream girl.
It's about perspective, right? He addresses the issue of, like, it's a perspective about how you share a relationship. There are two perspectives. Okay. If I'm sharing a relationship with him, I'll have a different perspective about the relationship at this moment, and he might have a different perspective. So that's what the simple conversation is about. Like, this is your version of our relationship. I have a different one. But one thing is that circle of that, she leaves everything, like in the trailer also, she leaves everything incomplete.
Yeah.
But she says that, yes, she agrees to it, that I have left everything incomplete, but at the end, I found myself to be a complete mother.
Yeah.
It's slightly cringe-worthy. I was like, okay.
Like, was he, if chahe bhi to wo artist nahi ban pai.
Lekin achhi maa ban gayi. By default.
Classic Bollywood.
But yeah. What I felt really sad about is that, she could have done actually anything else. Like, why did she have to say that I was a complete mother? I am a complete mother now.
She could have had any other career or any other.
I mean, she's wandering off all over the place in the whole film, and she ends up just being a mother.
No, but the thing is, then again, it comes to character choices.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't fault them for the choices.
Maybe that's the character he looked at. But I'm saying, like, how the impact is leaving here, to me at least, is that ki ye aurat maa ban gayi at the end of the day. Which is not quite an aspiration, I believe, in a lot of women. But
yeah.
I feel if the character choice is that, I don't have a problem with it. But I felt that was slightly cringeworthy.
Yeah.
I mean, she says nothing else, like.
And I mean, it could basically be construed as, like, don't bother trying to do anything else.
Yeah. In fact, the very reason that she leaves him is that she says, I want to be famous. I want to do all these things in life.
Yeah.
Suddenly cut to 2 or 3 or 5 years later, she's like, no, I'm a wife. I feel completely fulfilled as a wife. So even to that character, it might not be too, you know.
Yeah, it feels a bit convenient.
Manish Sharma is the producer of this film also, no?
Yeah.
He has some issues with marriages.
What?
I'm telling you, his first movie was Band Baja Bharat.
Correct, which is good.
Which was about planning marriages. So. Then his second movie was Ladies vs. Ricky Bell. Okay. Where the guy always runs off leaving the girl just about to getting married. Then third was Shuddh Desi Romance.
But Shuddh Desi Romance uski nahi hai, yaar.
He produced it.
Shimit.
Shuddh Desi Romance was Manish Sharma.
Manish Sharma didn't direct that. Manish Sharma.
At least he produced it.
Maybe he produced it.
That's what I'm saying. This man has issues with marriage. I'm telling you. Shuddh Desi Romance. Again, Sushant Singh Rajput and Parinidhi Chopra came to marry each other for 3 times. The 3 of the times they ran away. At the end of the movie, also they ran away. Now then came Dam Laga Ke Haisha.
Yeah,
Manish. He didn't do that.
Dam Laga Ke Haisha was also produced by Manish Sharma. Check. Yeah.
Shuddh Desi Romance directed by Manish.
Yes, exactly.
I really didn't know.
So, then came Dam Laga Ke Haisha, that is also produced by Manish Sharma. Where Manish Sharma again says that you're married the wrong year. Find solutions in your marriage. Like,
you marry and then you marry a fat girl and then you realize, oh fuck, what a blunder I have done. So, and now this film again, like, Parineeti Chopra always runs away from a marriage and then she ends up marrying someone. I'm telling you, this guy has something to do with his marriage. This guy has major issues in marriage.
I don't think anyone has realized that.
Fan was okay. I think Fan was just... he wrote long time ago. Fan was a film when he was an assistant director.
When he didn't have issues with marriage.
So, after that, he had some issues with marriage and then he just made movies about marriage.
Do you know what he's making next? And if that's also about marriage.
No, I don't know what is he making next. I don't think he's making something. He's gonna... He's just producing
stuff. He looks like a marketing guy. Like
he was.
Kehta hai na ki in fan ka making. He's like, so yeah, the brief was.
But talking about the music of the film, I think Sachin Jigar did a really good.
Sachin Jigar, yeah,
I like them in general. They did some really good movies.
Even
like,
Shuddeshi Romance.
But is all the music just recreated songs? Or
No.
Also,
like, there are a couple of new songs. There's
a song called Afimi. A song called
Haria.
Haria
is very good.
I think Haria has a really good emotion in it.
Yeah.
Like the point of the where it comes in the movie.
See, most of the songs, even actually the visualization and even their placement in the movie make sense, except that
I think that was just Aditya Chopra was like, kya kar raha hai, kya kar raha hai, film kaise chali gayi aise, karna padega kuch, dikha de tram, Kolkata mein to tram mein ghum rahe, naach rahe. I have lived in Kolkata for 18 years, I have grown up there, I have never seen a party like that. In between tram depots, no, you're not allowed to enter a tram depot at night. It has guards.
If we start looking for that much logic in Bollywood, then... But we should actually be looking for that logic because there's no reason.
But I think Kapoor and Sons made a lot of sense in their songs also. The songs that they had pitched.
Yeah. But very few films do that.
If
which
you're
is
talking
sad.
About Kapoor and Sons, I have a interesting parallel here because I felt even in Kapoor and Sons and even here, there are moments where the director is creating chaos. Like he's manufacturing chaos. So for example, the opening scene itself, highly chaotic.
He's Beni Pyare Dilo, right?
Yeah, he's trying to write or something and he's by the sea. And his friend and editor, he comes in.
Publisher.
And he opens the window. And all the pages fly away. And then there's a whole scene for 5 minutes. They're just collecting papers everywhere.
In between there's a funny sequence.
Yeah.
Where both of the parents call and they say, we're getting divorced.
So he comes back home and the home and the home sequence is very chaotic again.
Yeah.
So it's about manufacturing chaos, which I think... Even this guy did with the...
Shakun Batra
did with this film.
Kapoor and Sons.
Where they're fighting and there's a plumber in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was done very seamlessly.
This wasn't. But I think that's...
No, but I think that defined the motive of the character there. Like Ayushman's character a lot. That setup itself was defining that what kind of a position, mind space he is in right now.
Yeah.
Even this guy did it in Piku. The first 20 minutes were damn chaotic. I remember.
Sujit Sarkar.
Cut.
Is this to establish all the
that is just establishing the space, I think.
And it's the same with him. I think wo Bengali household guy pura dikha raha hai. Log aa rahe hain, people are...
I have one question. Like, everyone thinks Bengali households are just about to relate to each other.
Hi.
I have lived a Bengali life, but it's not that. Not everyone's screaming at each other.
Hashtag stereotypes.
No, but Banzi generally has a louder volume than anyone.
I have a louder voice. My father, when he says good morning, my padosi can listen to it and they can also wake up. That's generally our voice, right?
Yeah, but loudness usually signifies chaos. Even if it's not actually the case, people will assume that...
My voice is loud. Like, I'm not a loud personality in general,
that
but my
is,
voice is loud.
Also up for debate, but anyway.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, if you see the movie, there's everyone has a very loud personality there. Like, the way they dress, the way they come out.
But it's not just...
Why the hell do they have a horny mass in the film?
It's crazy, dude.
I get Bengali women are horny.
She's been given such a cleavage and she just speaks.
She's not showing her cleavage, but she's just showing her boobs.
That's really strange.
The only thing covered in that blouse is her nipples.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, tu aa gaya
Bubla. Probably thought some mass appeal would.
I don't know. Like,
I don't know. And then Masi is just coming. I can't imagine my Masi coming and feeling me up like this. Like,
that's
like making her boobs touch my chest or something like that. No, dude. I don't think anyone does that.
Anyway. Anything else about Meri Pyari Bindu?
I think it's a good one-time watch.
Yeah, it's a good one-time watch. I would watch parts of the film.
That was much more positive than when I asked y'all before the recording what y'all thought of
it. Yeah. No, but I think it's a good one-time watch. Like, you can watch it once,
okay.
At least. I would watch parts of the movie again, like, because I like watching.
But you also have to, like, be in a state of mind to watch it. You can't go in expecting a certain kind of movie and then... You know, it's not the best of films.
Hmm.
So you have to go in with that mentality.
Indians have done that much. Like, we as Indians have done that much. We go to watch
entertainment.
And I think if you're saying that keeping expectations in your mind and watching movies, then Salman Khan's movie will actually have empty theaters there.
Yeah.
But it's not the case here. And I think that's a good thing. I find that to be a good thing. Good thing. Thank God there's a balance.
I don't necessarily find that to be a good thing.
No, I'm just saying that just creates a balance.
I would rather have Salman Khan. Some of the Salman Khan movies have empty theaters.
Yeah.
I can definitely say name of you, but I think it's necessary to have that balance.
Ready.
Bodyguard.
But Ready is an interesting film. I want to know the writer. Like, I don't remember the
writer. It's a remake.
I know it's a remake of a South Indian film,
yeah,
movie. But what I'm saying is that it has really, really, really interesting dialogues. One dialogue has no link to the next line. And that requires immense talent. Like, you need to have immense talent.
No, they probably
did. They are awesome.
There may not even have been a script. They would have just got out camera and just done whatever. That's how David Dhawan used to make all his films.
Anish Bazmi would have just come and said, "Ha, bhai, kya karna hai? Aaj nachne ka man hai, to nach le rahe." The concept of hey, it's a typical Rikka Chika, Rikka Chika, pocket. Who the pockets, dude?
And wo sync to kabhi karta nahi Salman. Kabhi nahi. If you see Baby ko bass pasand hai, kabhi uska.
Ah, he's just doing whatever. He doesn't.
But an interesting thing is that Salman Khan songs don't have many close-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always
it's shot. Always from far away.
There are close-ups of his muscles and of his body, not of his face.
But Bharat, our dear friend Bharat here has a like fantasy over that song, 440 Volt.
No, it's a good
fantasy.
It's a well...
Crazy fantasy.
No, I generally...
I really don't understand that.
Bharat is regretting coming on this podcast.
No, I generally feel that this film...
Sultan
was shot really well.
Yeah.
Sultan was shot by some...
Many films were shot really. Ravan, the Hindi one was shot terrifically. Is that a good film?
Ravan.
Dasarala.
Ha, it's shot really well. But this is... Like, even that song, 440 Volt, if you see the music video, it's done really well because it's telling you the...
Salman Khan coming in a tractor.
Oh, there's like a tractor in the middle of a desert.
I'll tell you what it is. It is the fantasy of a village boy who's in love with a girl whom he thinks is out of his reach.
Then I can find a lot of logic.
Correct.
In this song. It's the fantasy of these two characters to just party.
No, I'm saying... Yeah, I mean, you can argue to that extent.
I mean,
but actually, I feel since the rest of the film is so well shot and so meaningfully shot, I would give...
This also has to have a meaning.
It can.
It better have.
Because I can like show you individual shots and tell you ki dekho yaar yahan pe wo ye soch raha hai aur wahan pe ye ho raha hai.
I can't see myself dissecting 440.
I don't like. I think that elitism should go. Like,
no, it's not an elitism. I'm just saying
be open
that,
to
I'm just saying
whatever.
That on one hand when we are talking about that you should put logic in everything, then I'm
this
just saying...
This is also logic.
How is it?
This is also logic.
This is a debate that...
Like, I think...
Yes.
But have you seen the making of Sultan? Like in the making of Sultan, in the making of Baby Ko Bass Pasand Hai, Anushka Sharma actually says, I don't know why am I singing this song because I'm not, the character doesn't fit in it. But then she says, bhai
hai to f*** it. Yeah, that's any bhai movie. Like, bhai hai to rene. Cool.
Anything else? Any trailers?
Trailers recently. I watched this trailer.
Bank Chor.
Oh god.
Yeah.
But the good thing about Bank Chor is that they made a trailer spoof of themselves only because they knew that nobody will go.
Yeah, and they got Gopal Dutt to give voiceover
for that. Voiceover. That was okay. What was that film of that girl? Simran.
The teaser.
It seems to be interesting.
It seemed like Amelie to me.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen the teaser.
Simran seems like an interesting movie.
Sniff or something, which we saw, which is by Amol Gupta.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's about these two kids.
One of the kids can smell really like strong,
like heightened
sense. Yeah, it's like danger ka kya smell hoga.
It's a really nice.
And Amol Gupta has those typical treatment of his movies with kids and all. Tube Light? Any thoughts on Tube Light?
I think
I didn't like.
I have watched Little Boy. Nothing else. I mean,
it's a standard Salman film.
No, I don't know because when I asked him that, I think that it's a remake of Little Boy because the trailer is like a cut copy of it. He said that no, they've actually bought the rights. I said that they've bought the rights of the movie, which means that you're making a remake of the movie. If you've bought the rights of the movie. Yeah. But he differs from it. He says that it's a different movie.
No, it's not a different movie. It says in the last credits slate, if you pause the trailer, it says the story taken from the movie.
You or anyone else in the room who was saying that okay, it's a different movie. They've just taken crux of it.
Anyway.
With Salman, it has to be a different movie. Like, you can't read
but
it.
But I still like, I think Kabir Khan, the director,
have a lot of faith.
Yeah, I have faith in him, in his storytelling at
least. I'm actually really excited. He's doing a Amazon show, right? Or a Netflix show.
Salman.
Kabir Khan.
Yeah. He wanted to do documentaries for a long time now.
Exactly.
He's doing documentaries?
No, he wants to do. But he was a documentary filmmaker in general.
But he's doing a show about war.
Oh.
So it's like a proper big budget production. It's going to be, I hope it's going to be good.
Last Kabir Khan movie I liked was his first, Kabul Express.
Yeah.
Like a movie that I watched and I was like, wow, what a brilliant movie. Yeah.
I also like Bajrangi Bhaijaan a lot.
Bajrangi Bhaijaan. I forgot about that. Absolutely.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's all we have for this week. Thank you guys for being here.
Yay.
And watch out for our other episode on Sarkar, which is also either already out or will be out this week as well.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app, or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.